Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
I was gone all of last week. I was in Texas. Left right after church Sunday. The first two or three days, I set aside for me. You know, you have to, it's your responsibility to maintain your emotions and your emotional healing and your spiritual healing. And I truly set that aside, that time aside for myself. And then Brian Higbee decided to butt into my time. But it was good. We went to a church in Abilene, Texas, where Papa Jack and Leif and Charles Carlin were doing a Word, Power, and Spirit conference. And you get around Papa Jack, and the first thing he throws me in the deep water, makes me pray for people and prophesy over people. And that isn't what I wanted to do. And so I didn't. I was rebellious. But I was there for me. And I'm walking around and getting on the internet and going, holy moly, this church has 12% of the city as members. It was huge. Huge. They ran like an oiled machine. People served when it was prayer time. This is a Well, the website said Baptist. There ain't much Baptist about them. So the second night I was there, I was, you know, I get to go in the green room with all the big boys because of my relationship with Jack, and I'm meeting everybody. And I didn't want to sit over with them. I could have. I sat over on the side. It was just, when it came prayer time, I said, Lord, I need someone to lay hands on me. I can go to Leif. I can go to Jack. I can go to, I got those relationships. And I said, I'm looking around this huge church. I said, who's got what I need? He says, find an elder that sits in both heavenly and earthly realms. And I watched their prayer team and I honed in on a couple. I'm like, that's who they are. So I get this prophetic download for them, and I'm like, well, this is not receiving mode. This is giving again mode. And he says, no, that was information. Just go receive. And they laid hands on me, and I did about 45 minutes of carpet time. And it was really good, and spent some really good quality time with my friend Brian Higbee. What was really good about this is, you know, brothers, we changed roles. It was my role to beat him up this time. That's what made it really nice. Every dog has his day, and it wasn't his day. But he needed everything I gave him. And so then Papa Jack says, hey, I want you two to come to the staff meeting tomorrow because I want you to pray for people. I'm like, I don't want to pray for people. So we go to the staff meeting of this church. It's in the side chapel, and there's 250 people on staff. I'm like, holy moly, that's three times the size of my church. And it's staff. The Spirit of God was there. And I sat there, and I realized that I get the same anointing. I get the same revelation. I feel the same presence in this church as I did in a 20,000 member church. And I was in awe of what God's doing on the earth today. I wasn't jealous because I don't want 300 staff. But if I need them because that's where we go, then we'll have to figure that out. And then we went an hour and a half south to Mineral Wells and went to, 4 miles of the dirtiest bumpiest road I've ever seen in my life to get to this resort. It was 200 acres sitting over a ledge looking at a river. There's 30 liters, 35 liters, and Papa Jack, and there's a lot of downtime. And you're listening to fathers of the faith, giants of the faith, just pouring out to all of us as leaders. I really wasn't there to give. I was there to receive. But Papa Jack said, "You be ready." I'm like, "Whatever." And they're talking about what they believe God's doing on the earth today. And these are people that have written 15, 20 books, have been all over the place, extremely successful. And they're really laying out some good stuff. I mean, it's God's doing some really good stuff. And then Jack turns me loose. And I come out with my story, and I come out with a message of innocence. God showed up. I wound up kissing everybody in the room, declaring the baptism of innocence. And these are leaders. They're weeping. And they're experiencing the revelation of innocence, the baptism of innocence. Yeah. I laid in bed that night, and I'm like, "That was strong, God. That was really strong." He says, "You know why?" I said, "Why?" He says, "Because your weakness activates my strength. Your weakness is what activates my strength." So the next morning, the two big shots, if I named their names, you'd know, most of the people would know them. And they sat down with me and they said, "Listen, we're all pretty tight group here in Texas. We meet a lot. We're on the same stream." He said, "This, you brought a key that we've been missing. This message of innocence is a key. It's not the key. It's one of many keys. I've got a big ring of king keys that they had there." And he goes, "When are you going to obey God and finish that book?" I'm like, "Shut up." And I was coveting the guy next to me. He had a really nice new Bible. And it's amazing. You can get on Amazon, and it could be at your house when you get there. It was amazing. But it's the Passion Translation. And so I was laying in bed. He said, "I've given you a key. I have given you a revelation on the baptism of innocence." He said, "But I'm trying to do a new thing with it. I've repackaged. It's been in the scriptures. Listen, this innocence thing has been in the scriptures the whole time." He says, "But I'm doing a new thing." And as soon as he said it, I'm like, that was the first message I ever preached. God's doing a new thing. And I was preaching at a African-American church in South Carolina, and I preached that message. I mean, so when he says he's doing a new thing, so I went back to the scripture. So Isaiah 43:16-26, Yahweh is the one who makes a way in the sea, a pathway in the mighty waters. 17, he destroys chariots and horses and all the mighty warriors. They fell, never to rise again, gone forever, snuffed out like a wick. This is what he says: stop dwelling on the past. How many believe that God's starting to do a new thing? Stop dwelling on the past. Don't even remember those former things. 19. I am doing something brand new, something unheard of. Even now it sprouts and grows and matures. Don't you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and open up flowing streams in the desert. Verse 20, wild beasts, jackals, owls will glorify me. For I supply streams of water in the desert and rivers in the wilderness to satisfy the thirst of my people, my chosen ones. When that elder couple laid hands on me, there was something in my spirit that broke again. I got rivers of living water starting to flow out me. And when I ministered a few days later and they were touched by the glory of God and the anointing on, it came out of my belly because something new had broke. So that you whom I have shaped and formed for myself will proclaim my praises. Verse 22, but you do not call out to me, O Jacob. You are so weary of me, O Israel. And there's a lot of the church that has gotten weary. You have not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings or honor me with your sacrifices. Here's what he says. I have not burdened you by requiring many grain offerings or wearied you with demands. I read that and I'm like, what are you telling me? Listen, we have polluted and watered down the grace message and we don't want to serve. You did not buy me frankincense, columnus, reeds, or lavish me with the fat of your sacrifices. Instead, you have burdened me with your many sins and wearied me with your evil deeds. I am the one and only who completely erases your sins, never to be seen again. I will not remember them again. Freely I do this. Freely I do this because of who I am. Help me remember the past. Let's debate, says the Lord. Bring me your vision, your version to prove your innocence. If he's doing a new thing, your remembering of the past thing will hinder you on the new thing. And if you think that your anointing and your insight and your revelation and your tenacity and your tithing and your giving that you gave is going to be anything in his eyes, bring your vision. Bring your version. Bring your credentials and debate with God to prove your innocence. Dude, he's calling us out. He said to me, where is your source of innocence come from? Where's your source of innocence, Charlie? Oh, because you said a prayer? But you haven't walked in it till now. See, the universal sinfulness is in Romans chapter 3, verse 19 through 20. Now we realize that everything the law says is addressed to those who are under its authority. For these two reasons, so that every excuse will be silenced with no boasting of innocence. You do not have innocence without the proper source. And so that the entire world will be held accountable to God's standards. For by the merit of observing the law, no one earns the status of being declared righteous before God. For it is the law that fully exposes and unmasks the reality of sin. I believe God is drawing a line in the sand and he's going to let you know that there's this fake innocence or this perceived self-righteousness isn't going to cut it in the next season. You're going to have to wrestle with God and you're going to have to debate with God and find out who your source of innocence really is. I said it, the greatest, during worship, depression comes from walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, but never eating the bread. There's a lot of people who are walking with Jesus, but they've never ate the bread. They've never drank the cup. And they hide behind, I walk with Jesus. Really? Let's debate that. With no boasting of innocence. Then you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 and 7. Immorality in the church. Verse 6, boasting over your tolerance of sin is inappropriate. Should I stop there? The church of Jesus Christ, we're starting to boast and brag on how we could tolerate your sinful nature, how we could tolerate the world's sinful nature. And I'm going to tell you why, because we don't want to get involved enough for you to meet Jesus and change. Don't you understand that even a small compromise with sin permeates the entire fellowship? Just as a little leaven permeates a batch of dough. Verse 7. So remove every trace of your leaven of compromise with sin so that you might become new and pure again. For indeed you are clean because Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Verse 8. So now we can celebrate our continuing feast, not with the old leaven, the yeast of wickedness and bitterness. Listen, I had a prophetic voice tell me there's bitterness in this room this morning. But we will feast on the freshly baked bread of innocence and holiness. Ephesians chapter 1. This is our sonship and the Father's plan. Verse 3. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift. From our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all of our hearts. He chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundations of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. The ESV version says, holy and blameless. Unstained innocence. Colossians 1, 15 through 20. The supremacy of Christ. He is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God and the firstborn heir of all creation. Say he's uno number one. He's uno number one. Through the Son, everything was created, both in the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. Let me stop there. Too many of us have gotten so heavenly, we're no earthly good. But let me tell you, there's some people that are so stinking earthly good, you ain't got a clue what heaven's doing. And that's just as demonic. That's just as weak. And you become a body chewer. You become critical. You become aggressive because you want to be earthly happy and not even know the joys of heaven. You're critical. You're bitter. You're unforgiving, and you're not innocent. And I'm telling you, you're not going to catch this baptism of innocence unless you function in both realms. Because where is your source of innocence coming from? Him. Where is he seated? So then where are you seated? Then why are we pulling from the earthly realm expecting to have godly experiences? Both the heavenly realm and on the earth, all to see and all that is unseen. Thank you. for all that is seen and all that is unseen. All that is seen and all that is unseen. I went out there and Pastor Mike was at the front and he's telling me he sees angels dances out in front. That's great. Invite them in. Invite them in. Out front's cool. In's better. So what is he doing? He's seeing the unseen realm. Catch this. I didn't mean to kick that. Yeah, I did. Anyway, just didn't mean to kick it that hard. The seen and the unseen. I'm trying to tie the benefits of the baptism of innocence. Because I'm going to tell you, it opens up your eyes to the seen and the unseen. When you look at someone, you want to, like, oh boy, Jesus, there's a pull on my heart for this person. You need to see what is going on in the natural. You need to see what's going on in the supernatural, demonic and holy. And then say, how do I proceed? See, because we've been proceeding and we've been taking the word and beating the snot out of somebody instead of being loving the hell out of them and dealing with the demonic in their life. Because if God has already said, I need to get this person saved, it's just a matter of time. Someone's going to function properly with the unseen and the seen realm in people's lives. Yeah. And the problem is that we don't really want our godly insights. Some of you do not want to see in the spiritual realm of heaven because you'll be responsible to do something. That's a good word right there, ain't it? I think I'm preaching to myself. All that is seen and all that is unseen. Every seat of power, realm of government, principality, and authority. Man, I must be preaching good. It was all created through him and for his purpose. Every government. I'm tired of all the political griping going on. Pray and let God be God. But shut up. Start to tick me off. And I'm going to tell you what, Christians are the worst because we think we have it. We got God on our side. He might not be on our side. So when in scripture where Abraham is there and this angel shows up and he says, are you for him or are you for them? And he said, I'm for neither. You think God's going to show up and be on your side? He might not be on your side. Why? Because he looks at the bigger government than you do. And you think this little world that you're living in is all about you. Nope, you could be crispy in about 2 seconds. Every dog has a bad day and it may be your day. Every seat of power. What does that mean? Every seat of influence. Every seat of power. So even the demonic people or the Satanist worshipers that have sitting in power, are they in every? Oh, so we criticize them. We speak evil of them. Or do we look behind the scenes and intercede for them? Every seat of power, realm of government, principality. He's actually talking about demonic. Do you understand Jesus is head over all those? And all of those things were created for him, by him, and for him. He's pretty selfish. I'm going to make it for me. He's the one person that can do it. I made it for me. My purpose, what the Father wants. It was all created through him and for his purpose. 17. He existed before anything was made. And now everything finds completion in him. Everything finds completion in him. I just feel broken. Get in him. I don't feel worthy. Get in him. I don't feel loved. Get in him. I feel ugly. Please get in him. You look better when you look like Jesus because you don't look that good now. Get in him. He is the head of his body, which is the church, since he is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection. He is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. Say everything. Amen. Verse 19, for God is satisfied to have all his fullness dwelling in Christ. I'm going to tune you up here in a minute because I've led you down a wrong path. I've gone after the father and son paradigm. I believe it. I believe it's real. Okay? When I found God as a father, healing came to me. Okay? So my intention was all I knew at the time. But it's taken me 25 years to get there. If I would have found out that everything the father had is in Jesus, I wouldn't have been trying to negotiate my way out of his hands. Oh, what do you mean? Oh, well, you know, Jesus is my older brother. No, he's God. He represents and he is an older brother when he is on earth, but he ain't on earth no more. He's God. The fullness of God is in Christ. Everything I need from the Father is in Christ. Now, there is a fathering side of God. I don't want to totally make me feel bad. Here's the thing about when you completely get submerged and get healed and you become like Christ, you're going to say to the Father, does Pastor Mike have an area that he needs to be healed in? Yes, but he's going to cut your head off because he's angry, he's wounded, he's this, he was rejected. Okay. Son, are you willing to let Pastor Mike turn on you, wound you, betray you, so that when he gets it out of his system, I can speak to him. And then he'll feel bad and open his heart and give you an opportunity to heal him. Oh, no, I want you to kill him now. We can't take anything, but we want to be like Jesus. And Jesus said, Father, sacrifice me for somebody else's benefit. See, we don't love people enough. I don't think we're healed enough to let God sacrifice us, sacrifice our position. Don't you know I'm in charge of that department? Yeah, that's probably why it's in trouble. That's why it stinketh. You're in charge of it. Am I hitting home here? Well, I preach to myself all week, so, you know, you can cry. If you can't, I can cry for you. But Father, if everything God the Father has is in Christ, Christ is my example. Are you praying, Father, where do I need to be sacrificed for the benefit of another? Instead of bellyaching because, you know, I was in charge and they didn't respect me. I was in charge, they didn't, and they see what I did, and 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 I did. Verse 20. And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. See, we want the emotional high of feeling innocent. We don't want to be restored to be used. I just wanted to marry you. I didn't have no kids. I just wanted to get married. I want to take on your name. I want to get your checking account. But now I got these babies. Now I got responsibility. Well, that's what love does. It reproduces. Some of you don't want to change diapers. Some of you don't want to go through the process of maturing somebody else because you're too stinking selfish. Face ladder of virtue. Actually, I'm doing pretty good. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. So devote yourselves to lavishly supplementing your faith. Who's responsible here? You are. Oh, brother, pray for me. I need faith. No, you need Jesus. You know what you want? You want me to lay my hands on you and give you what I've got with God because you're unwilling to get it from God yourself. So devote yourself to lavishly supplementing your faith with goodness, and to goodness add understanding. I had several men come to me at breakfast and say, first the guy says, hey man, will you prophesy over us? I was like, no. He goes, what? I said, no. And he's like, well, you're a prophet. I said, I ain't your prophet. And they're all like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was like, no, you got more prophecies than you need right now. You ain't done nothing with them. What are you going to do with mine? And he's like, whoa, that's a little tough, brother. I said, hey, it stings, don't it? I said, you're over here trying to milk me like a goat instead of actually eating the lamb. One laughed, three didn't. I said, but I tell you what I can give you is that I'm the dumbest man in the room. When I met Jesus at 33 years old, I read at a second grade level, and the Holy Ghost taught me how to read the Bible. And I'm not as smart as y'all, but I tell you what I do have, what I say, I have understanding. Why? Because I understood, I could hear the voice of the author, and when I couldn't understand it, I asked questions. Do you think I get this revelation because I'm smart? No, I've got this revelation because I'm dumb. But he's smart in me. And I don't think that I don't have a lot of opinions. I said, some of you, your opinions are starting to have opinions. That's why you want me to prophesy over you so you can write it down and say, ooh, look what God said about me. No, you need to figure out what God said about you in the quiet time where nobody else knows. And get some understanding on why you are the way you are. It was good. So I looked at him and I said, oh, I could see in the spirit. I said, you're an ex-Messianic Jew. Yeah. And I said, you're probably mad because I'm eating pork. With goodness and to goodness, add understanding. The problem is you're trying to understand why you're not good. This is a ladder. You want to get to the top of the ladder? You want to skip some rungs. Supplement your faith with goodness. Some of us aren't nice enough to get understanding. We're not good enough to get understanding. Goodness comes from God, and you need to be grateful that there's something in you, and start being kind, being good. Goodness add understanding, and to understanding add strength of self-control. There's a one for nice thing for a fat guy to talk about. And self-control, add patience. Oh, and endurance. And to patience, endurance, added godliness. And to godliness, add mercy toward your brothers and sisters. Man, we don't want to add mercy to them. They may show up at my home group. And then I'm going to have a relationship with them rascals. And to goodness, add mercy toward your brothers and sisters. And to mercy toward others, add unending love. God is love. Do you understand that? God is love at the same dimension that wet is to water. Is water wet? Well, God is love. Since these virtues, verse 8, are already planted deep within you, where are they at? Would you please do some digging and find him and find these virtues? Why, they're coming from Christ. And you possess them in abundant supply. They will keep you from becoming inactive or fruitless in your pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ more intimately. Verse 9, but if anyone lacks these things, he's blind. Say blind. Why are Christians blind? Constantly closing his eyes to the mysteries of our faith. This whole innocence thing, the gospel is a direct connection between heaven and earth. We have Isaac. We've been wanting, I want to, you know, if I die, I'll go to heaven. No, idiot, you're already in heaven. You got heaven in you. I heard one of the guys this week, he said, listen, he said, you know, when it talks about Jesus said to the Father, what do I do about Lazarus? Because, you know, he never said dead. He said he was asleep. So if you have eternal life now, you're not going to die. You're going to go to sleep. You wake up in glory and go, oh, that was a good night's sleep. Wow, my wife looks prettier from this direction. But see, he is blind, constantly closing his eyes to the mysteries of our faith and forgetting his innocence. For his past sins have been washed away. Forgetting his innocence. This is the core of the gospel. He became your sin and declared you innocent. I'm telling you, if you will never get that you're the righteousness of God until you get the baptism of innocence. Because you don't think you're qualified to walk in God's righteousness. It's a gift just like innocence is. Problem, we're trying to put righteous gift on top of uninnocence or past sins or all your garbage that you can't get away. Your shoulda, coulda, if all the ifs and nuts were candy and butts, would have a Merry Christmas. But we have an excuse for all this stuff. But if you get washed and you're innocent, then the likelihood to step into, I am the righteousness of God, and both are gifts. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. I've never seen the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You'll never pray with the availing prayer of a righteous until you come through innocence. What am I saying here? Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to be hope for the poor. Freedom for the brokenhearted, and new eyes for the blind. And preach to prisoners that are set free. I have come to share the message of Jubilee, for the time of God's great acceptance has begun. I'm telling you, he's trying to turn your eyes back on. On what? On him. Oh God, let me see in the spirit. I want to see the angels at work. Now, why don't you start with me? Won't you start and let me look at you and you look at me and let me gaze into you and find out why you can't see me the way I really am. Why don't we work on Jesus first? The angels will be byproducts. Demons will become our playground. Because when you walk in innocence, you can say what Jesus said. The devil has nothing in me. I'm going to thump him like a redheaded stepchild. That's where the power is going to come from. That's where the joy comes from. I am as innocent as Jesus Christ was. Can you say that? Then why don't you live it? Talk's cheap. The reason you're bitter and resentful of other people, because you haven't received it yourself. You haven't disqualified that list of junk that you are, that anger that you have, that unforgiveness you have, because you haven't received innocence yourself, and therefore you can never give it away. So I'm going to read to you Isaiah 43:26 one more time. The Lord says, help me remember the past. Let's debate. Bring me your version to prove your innocence. One of the guys said, man, hearing you talk the other night, sounds like you argue with God. I said, no, I don't argue. I debate. And if you debate properly, you can negotiate properly and get him to do some things. I said, but if you don't feel you're innocent, you'll be afraid to debate. Isn't it funny? He gives you a gift and tells you to argue with it. He's getting you to argue with it because he wants to know if you've actually received it. Oh, God gave me this car. It was a gift. Can I borrow it? No, it's mine. How many need their eyes opened again? Stand up. One of the old guys was sitting at the breakfast, the one who asked me for a prophecy. He said, listen, it's taken a long time for me to understand how this gift works, because I used to be able to see in the spirit and I would focus on your dirt and I wouldn't focus on your destiny. Until the baptism of innocence comes, your prophetic gifts will have a slant toward criticism instead of a piece of wisdom that breaks these things off of you. If Jesus has washed away your sins before you did it and after you did it, he's kind of cleansed all this. Why would I drag that up and use it against you? Except if I'm not innocent enough to declare that he's a good God. How many can see negative things easier than you can see positive? Let me make you feel better. That's my tendency. It's been my tendency. Why? Because I had more fear of the devil than I had love of God. I had a broken understanding that God was good. I was taught, you know, God can't look at sin. That's why Adam and Eve had to run from him. No, go read the scripture. He didn't hide from them. They hid from him. He went, where are you? I'm over here. Why did you do that? I was naked and I was ashamed. Who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you was naked and ashamed? God didn't tell him that. The devil lied. The self-absorbed thing started taking root. God says, here, let me cover you. These leaves aren't good enough. I got to have an innocent animal. I'm going to start a process. And I'm going to paint a picture of myself. And the day will come that my son Jesus will walk toward a cross to become your covering. And he will look at a fig tree that you're covering yourself with, and he'll curse it to the root, because it will no longer be needed or used by man again. I'll be your covering. I'm going to take away the core of sin, where it started and where it's living, and I'm going to destroy it. and I'm going to declare you innocent. Put your hand over your heart. Holy Spirit, right now, do a personal inventory with every one of us. I need a fresh baptism of innocence because I need eyes that are from you. Eyes that can see how good you are. Eyes that can look at the sin in people's lives and know that you've already conquered the sin, and I can cover the people while you reveal how good you are to them. I won't brag on my tolerance of sin. I'll cover it while you remove it. I don't want to tolerate. I don't want to tolerate the people that you've given me responsibility for walking outside of their own innocence. So God, I'm asking you to turn our eyes on. You said the anointing was on you to recover the sight of the blind. I want my sight back. Listen, guys, I asked for my eyes to be turned back on. It's been a long time since I openly saw, but I prayed this prayer. If you have found me faithful in my journey to come to maturity, that you can trust me, that I will negotiate the kingdom with your heart, not mine. If you found me faithful, if you found me worthy, look at my heart, Lord. Can you trust me with opening my eyes to see the good, the bad, and the ugly, and be able to speak life and cover the good, cover the bad, cover the ugly until it becomes Christ-like? What good are your eyes seeing in the Spirit in heaven and earth if you're not going to be redemptive in nature? Say, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see the heavenly realm, the earthly realm. Baptize me in innocence. So when I see it, I can give it away. Give me a heart for the people that irritate me the most, including myself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.